Arab leaders are offering some of their gloomiest assessments in years of the prospects for peace and reform in the Middle East. Many in the Arab world were enraged by President Bush's embrace of Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's latest plan. Sharon promised to pull out of the Gaza Strip while strengthening the Israeli presence in the West Bank and to deny the right of Palestinian refugees to return to Israel. Citing U.S. support for Sharon and the deteriorating situation in Iraq, Egypt's President Hosni Mubarak spoke of unprecedented hatred for Americans, and Jordan's King Abdullah postponed a scheduled meeting with President Bush at the White House. NPR's Peter Kenyon visited Amman and found American credibility in sharp decline.
The view from the Bush administration is that Ariel Sharon's proposal to remove Jews from the Gaza Strip could be the breakthrough that gets the stalled peace process moving again. But America's Arab allies are dismayed by the rest of the Sharon proposal, to solidify the Jewish presence in the West Bank and keep Palestinian refugees from returning to Israel. The net effect seen here is of a U.S. president aligning his policy with that of Sharon, a man seen in the Arab world as implacably opposed to a viable Palestinian state. Officials in King Abdullah's royal court recently downplayed the dispute, saying the summit will go ahead at a later date. But Mustafa Hamarni at Jordan University's Center for Strategic Studies says the king had no choice but to call off the meeting.
It was done for two reasons. Number one, I think to show disappointment with the Americans that they are really now towing not an Israeli line, but a very extremist, narrow-minded, exclusivist Likud line. And number two, the king does have public opinion in the country that does not support these policies, and he has to respond to his own public opinion.
Hamarni says Mr. Bush's statement last week that the world owes Ariel Sharon a thank you for his disengagement plan was a jaw-dropping sign of how far the administration has drifted from being seen as an honest broker in the Mideast.
I don't see how the Arabs can now speak of a credible peace process. It's a different ballgame now, and Bush's statements that everybody needs to be thankful of what Sharon is doing is yet further commitment to the Israeli side. It's the groups that are hurt most are the reformers and the Democrats in the region.
The Bush administration sparked a backlash among Arab regimes as it prepared to launch its Greater Middle East initiative, which originally called for sweeping democratic and human rights reforms across the Arab world. U.S. officials argue that it's wrong to use American support for Israel as an argument against reforming Arab regimes. They say if peace in the Middle East came tomorrow, Arab populations would not be one inch closer to enjoying democratic freedoms. Many Arab reformers agree, but they say the White House botched the presentation of its plan. In a sign that the administration senses its plummeting credibility in the region, the Financial Times reports that a greatly scaled-down version of the initiative is now circulating, calling for just a handful of modest political and economic initiatives. Abdellatif Arabiyat, a leader with Jordan's Islamic Action Front, says he's astonished that the White House can't or won't see that the Arab-Israeli struggle is a massive stumbling block to progress in the region. He says the American call for democratic reforms is barely registering here, while the president's post-9/11 reference to a crusade against Islamic terrorists continues to shape the Muslim view of George W. Bush.
And he sees that one-fourth of the whole world are Muslims, looking back to Palestine, to Jerusalem, as a big shrine to the Muslims. And he behaved in this way against their will, against their ambitions. I feel sorry, really, that the Americans, the image of America now, lost a lot.
For the Arab allies in general, and Jordan in particular, though, cutting off relations with the U.S. would carry a huge price. The U.S. is Jordan's number one trading partner since the fall of Saddam Hussein's regime in Iraq. Independent lawmaker and former cabinet minister Abdelrahim Malhas says King Abdullah will probably have to find a way to get past this latest rift, but he warns that if his regime's survival is threatened, that could change.
You know, it's like when you are on a very bad relationship with your wife, but you can't divorce. But at the same time, it is going to be a very, very strained relationship, ready to be broken at any time, really.
Peter Kenyon, NPR News.